good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the seat of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. So today we're continuing a series I started last week, a four-part series for the month of November, and it's on this particular portrait of God, because you know that all of Scripture to me is a continual series of portraits of God to let us know His heart, His character, and His ways. So the one that we're looking at this month is how He is our heart-changing provider. Have you thought about the fact that He is our heart-changing provider? Because when we do, it actually transforms us as often as we express our grateful thankfulness for His bountiful provision. Our heart changes. It's an amazing thing. And so in this month of Thanksgiving, as we head toward that day that we set aside to not just be thankful, but to thank God, this is the series and the portrait of God that He has put on my heart. And so we'll be picking it up at number 3 out of 12 takeaways. We covered a couple last time. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And as you're making your way there, however, just a quick reminder that all of these messages, they're 27 minutes, are archived on my website at markpg.org. And that's Mark with a K, by the way, pg.org. And when you go there on the landing page, just click on the gray box that says broadcasts. And the next landing page, just click on portraits of God and you're there. It's that ridiculously easy. And by the way, on that first landing page, in addition to the gray box saying broadcasts, there's one that says print guides. And it's about one page print guides on hot topics from the scriptures and in life, and also character issues there. There's also another gray box that says videos, and that'll take you to 62 devotional videos on portraits of God. And then there's another box you could choose that says articles, and it's articles I've written for local publications for many, many years. But all of them have one thing in mind: to help you hear God. So check it out at markpg.org if you want more. And speaking of wanting to hear God, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Father, I'm just so blessed that I've been able to just have a career of helping people hear God as best I can. And Lord, I pray that as we find ourselves seated at Your feet, I pray that in spirit we are gazing in Your eyes and listening for Your voice, heart to heart to us, that we can get to know You and Your ways better and better. And this month, looking at how You are our heart-changing provider. Lord, You provide so, so much to us when we really stop to dwell on that, chew on that, savor that reality and all the ways that You are so generous with us. I mean, it changes our heart. It makes us far more thankful than we tend to reflexively be. We get so busy. We get a spirit of expectation. We just think it's the status quo to be blessed day in, day out. Yeah, they're the challenges. And yeah, they tend to overcome us, but still, there are so many blessings all around us. So, Lord, thank You for being our heart-changing provider and taking us on this journey of what thanking You looks like. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and by His loving and saving and gracious and helping and generous and transforming and empowering and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, just to kind of put this in context, let me give you the first two takeaways on the list of 12 that we covered last time as we're looking at the Lord, our heart-changing provider who transforms us as often as we express our grateful thankfulness for his bountiful provision. So thanksgiving is really about thanking God. So number one, thanking God is about our heart and his wonders. Psalm 9:1 puts it this way, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. And we talked about that, taking an inventory of his wonders. Wow. Telling people about it. It changes our hearts when we cultivate a lifestyle like that. Number two is thanking God is the front end of worship. Thanking God is the front end of worship. Psalm 100 verse 4 puts it this way, enter his gates with thanksgiving and then his courts with praise. So we thank God for what he does and what he has done, but we praise him for who he is. And they do go hand in hand, but the front end is to thank him for what he's already done and is already doing in your life. And boy, that makes a difference in worship. Now we come to number three. It's over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, a classic portion of scripture that says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that. I love that Philippians 4, 6 passage. Here's our takeaway. If you're a note taker, number three, thanking God should be constant in our prayers. Thanking God should be constant in our prayers. When this passage is telling us to be anxious for nothing, you know, the Lord knows that we tend to be anxious about everything. Isn't that right? I mean, things come up and we get triggered because of past experiences. We get triggered because of insecurities. We get triggered because of uncertainties. We get triggered because of fear. On and on and on. We have all kinds of things within us that trigger us, that cause us to be anxious when something comes up. You know, I was just talking with someone the other day and just sharing with him, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I got this text, and the text was from one of our really good, you know, we have really good pastors here where I serve at the Royal Palm Association of Churches, over 106 churches. I have the privilege of being an executive director and basically, better said, mutual consultant. I mean, that's how Southern Baptists work. We don't have a hierarchical, top-down, authoritative structure. Most denominations have that. We do not. We take that hierarchical ladder, we throw it on the ground, bend it in a circle, and whether you're a national rep or at a national level of ministry or a state level or regional or a district, which we call associations, or a local church, that's not a hierarchy. We're all on the same level playing field, and we're mutual consultants to one another. And we have 106 local churches here in Southwest Florida I get to serve. And they're all great guys. And every now and then, though, I'll get a request that just, it just jars me, you know. It makes me think, wait a minute, are you questioning what we're doing or how we're doing it type of a thing? And I hate it when that happens. But the Lord just says, you know what, son, you're still a work in progress, always will be till you get to glory. It's okay. Just don't camp there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I am absolutely captured by the word everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What is it saying? Thanking God should be constant in our prayers. Now, not thanking him for everything. If I'm in an automobile accident, which I was at age 17 and got, teeth that were chipped and big gash in my chin that had over 100 stitches, and my little sister with me at the time had a broken wrist. I didn't say, thank you, God, for this wreck. No, we don't thank him for disease. We don't thank him, but we can thank him in the wreck, in the recovery, in the things I'm learning from it, in the illness that I'm wrestling with, in the surgery that I'm facing or just had and stuff, in the difficulties that you have with people, be they family or church people or neighbors or whatever, in the chaos that our country is going through in its spirit of anger and distrust and fear and accusation and just all the confusion. We don't thank the Lord for all those things, but we can thank the Lord in those things, because no matter how difficult or how deep those trials and tribulations, He is deeper still. He's not up there going, oh no, now what am I going to do? It's getting crazy down there. Listen, it is a given that you will have tribulation. Jesus specifically said that. You, in this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. Another way, be thankful. Thank me. Because I got this. I got this. My friend, it's the idea of learning how to get the bigger view, the longer view, the eternal view, right off the bat. When we, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, we are saying, Lord, I'm thankful in this situation, though it looks nuts, it looks crazy, it looks unresolvable, I'm thankful in it because I know You make beauty out of ashes. You are not trumped. You are not befuddled. You are not at your wit's end. You never are. And Lord, I can be thankful in the midst of all of this, knowing that You can use it for good. Obviously, one of the best stories in Scripture is our friend Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers, who told their father that he had been killed. Bald-faced lie, treacherous thing that they did. And he's off in slavery now in Egypt. And then he ends up in prison unjustly. And then he gets left there even after some hopeful interchanges with fellow prisoners who were close to the king, who said, we'll get you out, we'll get you out. Never did, until a long time down the road. And the story, as you know, is that he ascends to be second in power only to Pharaoh. And then when the famine that he had been predicting because of the dreams he had, and then instituted an insurance program, a savings program, so Egypt and the surrounding areas could have food in the midst of the coming famine. That's the thing that elevated him to second only in the kingdom of Egypt. And then the brothers show up for that grain. And in that ongoing drama that unfolds, we see this big, big principle of how he can be thankful in what they did, but not for what they did, because he says, what you intended for evil, God has used for good. He makes beauty out of ashes. Once there was a mom who was having a struggle with her teenage daughter, and that's not all that unusual, we know that. And, she was just trying to work with her and talk some sense into her head. And then she had an issue that came up with her jaw, and she had to have it surgically worked upon. And then her jaw was actually wired shut where mom could not speak for 5 weeks during the healing process. And she was heartbroken because her daughter was happened to be going through some very difficult times in her life, where the mom was desperately wanting to help her and counsel her and point her in the right direction, but she couldn't talk. And her daughter would come home and huffing and stuff, and the mom would go, and the girl's, oh, mom, you're not going to believe what's happening. Well, what's going on? And the young girl would just vent and vent, and the mom, who couldn't say anything, would just try to smile at her and give her a little hug or something and thumbs up, you know, from day to day and for those weeks. And she's, mom's just dying inside because she doesn't think she's helping at all. Until she gets to like 3 or 4 weeks into this thing and notices that she and her daughter are getting along better than ever before, because the daughter was able to just vent, just talk with her mom, and not get overwhelmed with mom's talk back, even if it's wise, it was too much or too intense or too soon or not comforting at all. And it's turned into a tremendous blessing rather than a big, big problem or tribulation. Now, she didn't thank God for the surgery and the wired jaws for 5 or 6 weeks, but she could thank God in it. And her heart softened, as did her daughter's, and God did his work. Oh, my friend, there are things that happen in our lives that we think, what is going on here? Lord, are you even there? Do you even care? Absolutely, he does. And he's doing a bigger work or a longer work or an eternal work or a deeper work in you that you just can't see right then. That's why we can be anxious for nothing but in everything, even tribulation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thanking God in the midst of it. Thank you, God, that you're there for us. Thank you, God, that you got control of us. Thank you, God, that this will be resolved some way, somehow. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He changes our heart. He is our heart-changing provider. He provides us opportunities that we don't even recognize as opportunities to have our hearts changed, like that mom was, like that daughter was. I love that. Well, our journey continues. Let me give you another takeaway from this journey through discovering the Lord as our heart-changing provider. Let me take you to Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, wow. I love this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. So here's number 4 if you're a note taker. Thanking God appreciates his everlasting kindness. You know, sometimes, in fact, very often, I notice that it's the kindness of the Lord that is so often overlooked or not even preached about or mentioned. Oh, we'll hear sermons about the wrath of God or something like that. And all, but how often have you heard sermons on the kindness of God? Kindness seems to be like a second or third rate character quality, kind of a throw-in with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, whatever. It's not one of the biggies, but it is one of the biggies. Let me show you what I'm talking about. There are so many scriptures that talk about this. In fact, key scriptures that really give us a clue that a huge scriptural theme as we take a tour of the scripture is the kindness of God. Here, right off the bat in Psalm 118:1, it says his loving kindness is everlasting. Well, that's pretty noteworthy, don't you think? But let me give you some other ones. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness? Okay, I got to stop right there. I have to say, yes, I do think lightly of the riches of his kindness. Sometimes I don't even think of his kindness at all as a younger man and even middle age. But now that I get older and I'm seeing bigger pictures and deeper things, the kindness of the Lord is so constant, so everlasting, so deep, so impactful. How could I possibly miss it? Well, the answer is in the busyness of trying to be a success, and the busyness of parenting, and the businesses of providing for my family, and all that other stuff. So I love how it starts, Romans 2, 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness? Yeah, we tend to. And restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of the Lord, or the kindness of God, as some translations will say, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. You see, it's the kindness of God that leads us to have a change of mind about who he is, what he's like, and how much he loves us and wants to save us. It's not good hermeneutics or persuasive presentations of the gospel or warnings of dire consequences if you don't, using fear as a primary motivator. This says the kindness of God leads to repentance. Give people a picture of the kindness of God along with the other things as necessary, but emphasize what the Bible emphasizes. In fact, let me give you another one, Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. So there it is. His kindness, His love, His grace, it's the basis of our salvation. Here's another one, Psalm 90, verse 17. May the kindness of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Isn't that beautiful? May the kindness of the Lord be upon us. I love that. In fact, here's another one. Puts it this way, Colossians 3, verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow. Proverbs 3:3 builds on that. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Wow. One more, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and 7. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Oh, I got to give you one more. Micah 6, 8, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? We tend to focus on that in this verse, but he goes on, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So, my friend, when we start appreciating the Lord's everlasting kindness and his lavish provision to us, our hearts are changing to one that will give thanks to God because he is good and his everlasting kindness is everlasting. Now we go to number five. Number five is over in Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Don't you just love that? Praise the name of the Lord with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Here's our takeaway, number five. Thanking God magnifies him in our hearts. My friend, when you cultivate that heart of prayer that constantly gives thanks in everything and making your requests made known unto God, and we continue to thank the Lord for all the things he does for us and continually does for us, it magnifies him in our hearts. Let me ask you a question. If I ask you to describe what God is like, do you more quickly think, oh, he's a generous father? Or do you kind of think, well, he's a stern taskmaster, actually. He's kind of up there watching over us, a little bit of a scowl, kind of pointing fingers here and there. Watch out, I'm watching. No, it's not like that at all. He is our generous father. And when we thank him for his generosity, for his ongoing provision, his love for us, unlimited love for us, unconditional love for us, how he continually provides, oh man, what a God. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isn't that powerful? Man, love that. The Lord, our heart-changing provider, as we thank him more and more regularly and more deeply for that, he changes our hearts and it magnifies him in our hearts. Wow, I love that. So you may have had a father that wasn't so generous, wasn't so kind, wasn't so comforting, wasn't so thoughtful. Maybe your father was a stern taskmaster. Maybe he was aloof because he was so busy and trying to provide for the family, being a white-collar or a blue-collar worker. Doesn't matter the socioeconomic status. There are a lot of dads who get wounded, hurt, who kind of fade away from day-to-day life in their family. And the wives are feeling abandoned emotionally, and the kids are feeling abandoned emotionally. And so we end up with an image of God, a reflexive reaction to God as one who is kind of like our dad, whether it's stern or aloof or far away or hard-hearted. But that's not our Heavenly Father, my friend. As we've been seeing, He is a God who is a lavish and generous provider, a God who does wonders all the time. He's a God who is the front end of worship, and thanking God should be constant in our prayers, and thanking God appreciates His everlasting kindness. And oh, how it magnifies Him in our hearts. I hope you've been watching the video series, The Chosen. You can just get The Chosen app online. The way they depict Jesus is wisdom, winsomeness, incredible kindness. And it's that kind of power that saves. It's a great, great video series. I hope you check in. Points you up. It points you way up to the Lord. Well, Lord, we're so grateful that You are a God of everlasting kindness. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for how You love us more than we can possibly imagine, Lord. And we embrace that. And we know that the degree that we embrace that, we'll be able to share that love and grace and kindness with others. Oh, thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, oh, fall in love with Jesus, your heart-changing provider.